This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I think the greatest compliment you can really pay anybody is that when they come up short, you're stunned. And the only person, even more than Jeter, and that was very surprising as well, like when Derek didn't come through at a big October spot. But I look in my lifetime, I was talking about postseason stuff. The only equivalency here for Brunson, for me, is Mariano. That's it. Nobody else. And, you know, certainly not Ewing, not Carmelo. You know, I was a little young for Bernard, so I wasn't quite processing it the way I would if I was a little bit older. Didn't see Reggie. I was a couple of years old when he hit the three home runs, you know. It's Mariano and it's Brunson. Like when Mariano blew that save against the then Indians back in 97 against Alomar, hit the home run to right field, or even the broken bat base hit against the D-backs in 01. Like that's how, and think about what I just said from, you know, 97 to 01, and they were in the playoffs every single year, not to mention the one before in 96. I mean, how many games and how many chances did Mariano have to take the baseball and implode? And he just never did. I'm not saying he never blew a regular season. Of course, I mean, he's human. But, like, the biggest moment, the only thing that matches that confidence, for me, it's the combination of Mariano and Brunson. Like, to the point where I was genuinely stunned when he missed that shot last night at the end of regulation. What a great play. Very well designed. Great pass by Cat. You know, he led him. He put it on a nice little loft, easy to catch. Left side for a lefty. Boom, should be money. And if he takes that shot 10 times, he's making a 9. That's the one time he missed. And I was genuinely stunned. And then he missed a couple others, you know, in overtime. But every other shot that he took, I thought he was going to drop. Like, I thought it was, yeah, that's swish. Swish, that's going in. Swish. It's amazing. You know, and this is not the debate that I want to get into now. But, you know, some of you find it very interesting. Some of you think it's dumb, and some of you think it's offensive when I talk about how Jalen Brunson is the greatest Knick that I've ever seen with my own eyes. And he is. And, you know, you could always debate that. Clearly, that's my opinion. But I just think I go back to the feeling that I would have, and you had to have lived through this in real time, when Patrick would get the ball. It was just one of a little unrest. Like, is he going to fumble it? Is he gonna miss a foul shot? Yeah, he's going to do some really good things, too. Don't get me wrong. I love Pat. I love him. But this is just, this is, Brunson's just ridiculous. All right, let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Candy in Jersey City on the fan. Candy, what's cooking?
Hey, what's up, BC? Long time.
All right.
I used to see you on the late night. I used to give some calls to you back then in your earlier days.
Wow.
Your progression.
Well, yes. Listen, hey, you've been with me since the early days. I love that. Thank you very much. That's awesome.
Yes, and I can vouch for your New York, like you said, when it comes to the Knicks, you're one of the steady guys on the radio. I know we can, you know, come to get the info.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to let everybody else talk about the game. I just want to add to what you're feeling. I think what happened with the Knicks trade was so quick that we didn't have the time to mourn. We didn't have the time to grieve and try to process when the trade happened. from what we felt of next of last year's team. So I think that now what we're going through is kind of like you get these disappointments. It's like, because it was kind of hard to connect with this team for their own doing. But at the same time, it was like we still kind of holding on to what we had before. And in some ways, over the last couple of weeks, I think they've been kind of showing us little things here and there. I still have a lot. I share what you feel. But at the same time, I think that's kind of what we're going through. Hopefully, they give us something on this run. I mean, Boston is tough. But I think what we're going through is just trying to accept the grieving, the processing, and getting over how quick that trade was and getting through with this team right here.
I got to tell you, I think you nailed the big piece. But now I just can't get on the air and say, hey, I don't connect with this Knicks team and call it a show. So I've got to, you know, give more details. But that is a very, you nailed it. That's a great summation. It took a while, and I'm still not fully there, but last night was a big set. Like, to connect, to feel this team, to just to, yeah, I almost felt like they were some outsiders, and I had to get to know them, and it took a while.
Can I add to Bridges?
Yeah.
You know, and he's one of the main ones. You know, over the last couple of weeks and some points during the season, this guy's a winner. He makes winning plays. And for as much as he may sell us short in some, you know, missing some shots and doing little things that he still come up short during the game, this guy, Josh Hart made a comment last night on the post game about him saving us a lot of these games. And it's really true. 5 picks, I get it. It is a lot. But at the same time, this is he does winning things. And we kind of got to, I'm starting to open up, like, you know, be a little, let me give him some chance, because you need players like that, and you need battle-tested guys, and the chemistry with you know, the confidence that he gets from his guys on the team, I think is helping him right here. So I think it's on us as fans to kind of go along with it, and I think we'll even get better results.
Right? That's awesome.
Thank you for the long time, BC. Appreciate you.
Oh, no, I appreciate you right back. Kenny, thanks for that call. That was awesome. 888-808-1019. Yeah, the emotion and the relationship, and it's early, provided he signs a long-term deal, and I would imagine that he would when you give up all those picks to get him. Like, we could give Mikal Bridges, like, when they first got him, and he did get respect. Like, hey, you know, he knows these guys from Nova. Hey, he's a good player. We saw him with the Nets. We saw him in Phoenix. We know we could D it up. We know we could shoot. He could score. Now he won't be the first or second option, so in theory, it makes the team a lot stronger. Like, we can, in our own basketball minds, come up with a lot of reasons why we like the move. And I liked the move when they did it. Now, I loved last year's team, but I also understood that, you know, things were going to change a little bit just based on some things the Knicks could control and some things that they could not control, okay? So, but it's one thing to give somebody respect when they come, which we did begrudgingly, but it's another thing for that player to earn respect. And what's happening now, he is earning respect. He's earning it. And that is a powerful tool in a relationship that maybe is going to be a lot better than we thought between us and Bridges. Let me get Dan in Long Beach, BT and Sound on the Fan. Danny, what's going on?
What's up, man? I'm a big Knicks fan, but everyone's dismissing the reality that's never going to happen again. The Celtics went 25% as a team from three. And that's why the Knicks won. Think about it. They make two more threes, they lose, and then we got to win the next game because they can't win at home. And I'm all about it. But we got to like hop off this. Oh, they might not come home. They might come home 2-0.
Danny. We don't have to. I mean, you can. I'm not hopping off anything today. If anything, I'm hopping on.
It's a false reality. That's an anomaly. What they did last night.
Says who? Danny. Says Danny.
The Celtics will never go 15 for 60 from three in the playoffs.
Okay, no, Dan, I understand that, but that's
so then why? So if it took if that happened and we squeaked it out in overtime, I don't like that.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Listen, Dan, hold on a second. Let's have a conversation. I'm not trying to convince you. You do what you got to do. But one of the first things I said to start the show, one of the reasons I'm so pumped is that the Knicks won and the Knicks didn't play well. That's what?
There's a difference between not playing well and doing something abhorrent statistically that never happened.
They shot 17 for 31 for the free throw line.
No, I'm saying the Celtics.
But I'm talking about the Knicks.
I know, but I'm saying the Knicks do that sometimes. The Celtics never. They've never done that all year.
Well, I don't think they've ever done that. I think that's the worst ever. But I understand that. But the thing, and thanks for the call. By the way, I get what you're saying. I do. I don't fully agree, only because I think you're minimizing some things that could offset when the Celtics inevitably shoot better starting in game two. There are things that I fully expect the Knicks to do better. That doesn't mean they're going to win game two, but I don't think they're going to go 17 for 31. I don't think they're going to get out-rebounded by 10. I don't think they're going to shoot 42% overall. And I don't think Karl Anthony Towns is going to play 23 minutes, whatever he played, because he picks up two fouls in the first 5 minutes of the game. Nor do I think he's going to have 10 or 11 points, whatever he had. So, you know, now, okay, let's say he scores 25 and maybe... OG goes from 29 to 13. Yeah, of course, a million different variables here. But the best thing about last night, aside from stealing home court advantage, aside from sending a message, aside from gaining confidence, all those basic components, is that, you know, the Knicks walk out of that arena knowing, all right, you want to say we got a little, I don't think they got lucky. Like, maybe some fans, they're not thinking that. Because they were the ones who were grabbing those loose balls. Josh Hart was the one who was in the middle of two or three Celtics, not once but twice, to get back-to-back offensive rebounds. Josh Hart was the one in the middle of multiple Celtics ripping it out of their hands and basically almost breaking his thumb because he was possessed to get that ball. Mikal Bridges was the one who said, no, you're not getting this shot off. I'm stealing the ball. Lights out. Game over. You know what I mean? Those things really happened. I do expect the Celtics to be better. Of course, they're the defending champions. That may have been an all-time outlier. But I expect the Knicks to do certain things better as well. Oh, my God, I just looked up. I heard about it. I didn't see it. I just saw Pete's bomb from last night. That was a bomb. That was a bomb. We got SNY in the studio. That's a slow trot, too. That was a high fastball. MVP, right, Huff? How's your boy doing? He's rolling.
Dude, he's killing it right now. He's, what, 17 away from breaking Strawberry's record? I mean, he's right there, man.
Is he 16 or 17? I thought he was, maybe you're right.
I think 16 from tying it, but 17 from taking the sole
possession. He has looked so good. And, yeah, I'll do a little more baseball later, but that throw by Alvarez, more so the pick and the tag by Lindor, I mean, you know the play I'm talking about, Hoff, right? Where it was a short hop. Where,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that was absolutely, I had to watch it three times. I'm like, did they get that right? And he got him right on the heel, right on the spike there. Beautiful stuff. I won't say the Mets needed that win. That's a little nuts here. But, you know, when you lose back-to-back series and you're back against the team that you just played and beat you, you know, Griffin Canning, what, 5-0 now, whatever he is, I mean, good win by the Mets.
I mean, Canning is faking everybody out right now. He's pulling a cat, I guess. I don't know. But let me put it this way. Mets are playing well. They have not lost three games in a row. And that was nice. That's why yesterday's win was big, because you like to see that they could stop losing streaks.
Stop the bleeding a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, because listen, their bullpen's going to have some issues. The Minter injury stink. There's definitely some things, and we'll get into this more as the year goes on, that they're going to have to navigate. And Stearns knows he's going to have to address this. But if you can avoid losing 5 of 9, you know, 3 of 4, 4 of 6 with great frequency, and last night's a big step in that direction. Yeah, that's what sets you up for 95 wins, you know? Kind of, that's how you got to play. Let me get John in Bergen County. John is on BT and Sal. What's up, John?
Hey, BT. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, so I'm calling because 2 points. One, you were right on the fact that the Knicks, you know, they went 17 from 31 for the line. That's doubtful to happen again. And you were right when you said they played about a 7 out of 10 on the scale. They didn't play their best game. And on the other hand, you did have the Celtics that they set the record for most missed three-pointers, 15 for 60, as someone just mentioned.
Yep.
But I don't think either one of those is going to happen again. And coming from a Nets fan who just wanted to watch a great game,
mm-hmm.
I was actually rooting for the Knicks. When they got it down to 4 points in the fourth quarter after that 20-point deficit, I was literally rooting for the Knicks. I just want to see a basketball winner local in the area. You know what I mean? It's been so long for the Nets.
That's very nice of you, John. We'll allow you to hop on for a little bit. Enjoy the ride.
Yeah, and the other point I had, Porzingis and Hauser, Do you think they're going to be back? What's going on with Porzingis?
I don't know. I know
he had this illness back in March.
He
and
did.
Now he's got this.
He did.
Yeah, so what's going on there?
I don't know. With that, I don't know. I don't think Hauser's playing game. I think Hauser, he was barely able to get himself off the court. So I think that that's going to definitely, you know, alter their rotation and take away from some of their advantages over the Knicks, that built-in advantage, which is part of the... Listen, we could talk about Tatum and Brown all we want, and, you know, I'm not even sure that Brown's going to get fully right the rest of this year. He's been banged up with that knee. But one of the reasons, to me, that the Celtics had a clear advantage over the Knicks, it's not just that the Knicks bench has been pretty much invisible, it's that the Boston bench has been excellent. And now, if that advantage obviously drops from a strength to a neutral, and you start to get more of the McBride that we saw a year ago, well, now, who knows where it swings? I don't know. And I like the fact that Precious Achiuwa got a couple of, not many, but I like the fact that he got dusted off a little bit. He has some value. I have always thought that. Let me get Tino on Staten Island. Tino. Tino.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, how are you? How's everything?
Now? What's up, man?
It's been a while.
Yeah, where have you been,
dude? I haven't called in for a while. You know, BT, we talk about this all the time. Every time I spoke, I'm like you. I watch every Knick game. For the last 35 years, since I've been 10 years old, mm-hmm. I sit there and watch the preseason games, and I'm locked in just like you are from the every game for the season. But I want to start by emphasis on Karl Anthony Towns. We okay. made that trade thinking that Karl Anthony Towns is going to be this stud. Yeah, he put up, you know, good numbers in a regular season, the second in the league in rebounding, 24-12. But when it comes to playoff time, this is where you make your money. And if you go back to his Minnesota days, BT,
I know
he's soft. He's soft, BT. We know it. Yeah. He doesn't show up when we need him. He's had one good game. Is that one game when he hit the turnaround three in the 30-foot three
yep.
Against Detroit?
Yep.
Besides that, BT, he's been non-existent, and it's sad to say he got locked up by a 40-year-old Al Horford yesterday.
He did. He did.
BT, if we're going to win this series and somehow win, Vegas doesn't believe in us because the spread for next game is already 10.
I saw that.
I mean, they don't believe in us, and nobody believes in us. But the point is that this guy's got to show up, BT, man. He's really got to get going. And, you know, he doesn't even want the ball, BT. You watch him. He just stands around in the corner, just watches the other guys make plays. Like, demand the damn ball, dude.
Dude, you know,
7 foot tall.
You know what I can't stand? Tino, you're just triggering something here. So, yeah, I remember, like, we talk about that, you know, Sal playing JV baseball, me doing whatever I did. Like, you're either born fast, you're born tall, whatever. I was not born fast. So I would jump rope, and I got those stupid strength shoes back in the mid late 80s, and I did everything that you could do to try to get quicker. Spoiler, it never really worked. But because of my pure physical limitations, I have no tolerance for people who waste speed or waste size or waste strength. It drives me nuts. I can't stand it. Like, if you can fly and you're just loafing around the bases, or, you know, you're a receiver and you're kind of jogging routes, but you're not, like, wow, think about the gift that you've been given that you're wasting. And, I don't want to be that hard on Towns there, because he doesn't play lazy, but too often there's a, whether it's a floating element or a lack of you know, just ferocity. I'm not saying soft, but you know, I'm kind of straddling that line. Disengagement that I just don't understand. How could you be that big and that tall and that skilled and be on the court? Like, sometimes we see him out there 6, 7, 8 minutes straight when he's not in foul trouble, barely touches the ball, doesn't demand it. Like, I don't get that. And that frustrates me. And then, you know, as much as, you know, Patrick, you know, missed some big shots, whatever. I mean, then I look at Patrick Ewing, who on 2 bum knees, you know, never, not the Cats taking maintenance days, but never took a maintenance day. You know, even at the end when he jacked up his calf and his Achilles and played with one sleeve, and, you know, like, Pat was just a warrior. Like, he squeezed everything out of his body. He really did. And sometimes I watch Cat and I'm like, what are you waiting for, man? Let's go. And they got a chance. They got a chance. I'll tell you this, like, all right, Knicks versus Celtics, or, and again, I don't want to go too nuts, but Knicks versus Celtics or Knicks versus Cavs. Who would I, before last night, who would I feel better about playing? The Cavs. Not by a great deal, but the Cavs. So you never know if the Cavs, first of all, I don't even know if the Cavs get past the Pacers, probably, but they're down 0-1, and they got to go to Indianapolis for a couple of games, so you don't know. All I'm saying is, if Karl Anthony Towns can play possessed, which I question, but if he can, there's no limits as to what this team could do. And I'm talking championship, but I don't see it enough with him. And I'm not trying to bag on him. They won, but that's the reality of Cat. So I was just messing around, and I went back because, you know, and I'm not going to let it take away from the enjoyment of the win. It was great. And this definitely changes my level of not enthusiasm, but certainly belief or hope that the Knicks could pull something off and, who knows, maybe finally deliver one for us. I mean, it's early, but it's okay to feel that today. But I just wanted to see something, right? So you know about the Celtics missing 60 or taking 63s last night. I went back. I'm like, well, I'm not going to go 94 because, you know, Patrick was such a big part of the offense and he didn't take any threes. So let me just go to, and I just randomly went to game one of the 99 finals where, of course, Knicks Spurs in 99. Pacers won by 12. Do you know how many three-pointers the Knicks took that night? Keep in mind, Allen Houston is on that team, you know? The Knicks took 8. What? They were 2 for 8. And the Spurs, they took 15. 23 total. By both teams, 23. The Celtics took 60. I mean, really, and again, I don't want to do this today, but the game is a mess. I'm like, if the Knicks aren't involved in this and I'm just watching that game, now, I mean, if I stumble upon it, like, say if I'm not a Knicks fan, and I'm like, oh, wow, the Knicks were down by 20, but here's this comeback. Yeah, I mean, I love basketball. I would stick with it. But to sit through that game and just, you know, just clank job after clank job. If you don't have any dog in the fight here, any rooting interest, like from a Knicks perspective or Celtics, that's just tough to watch. 60 attempts. Back to you guys. 888-808-1019. Brendan is in Clifton, New Jersey. What's going on?
Hey, BT. Good afternoon. Hey, I got to push back a little bit on something you brought up earlier. You were talking about Jalen Brunson being in this upper echelon of playoff performers in New York, you know, in the last few decades. I think it's a little early to get quite there. I mean, he hasn't even been to a conference final at this point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. He's an amazing player. He's incredibly clutch, but I just can't get to that level yet.
Well, like, no, hold on, Brent. Just Manny, a little, by Jeter. The way, yeah, no, hold on. I get that. Stay with me. Just to create a thread of context here. It wasn't that I was historically elevating him, because you're right, he hasn't played a lot so far. But what I said exactly was, I've had nobody, like, garners the confidence outside of Mariano that I have for Brunson in my lifetime.
Yeah,
I just expect him to make every shot.
Yeah. I just, until he gets, because I think you'd agree, once you get to the conference final or the NBA finals, there's just a different element of intensity when you get there.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen him do it on that level yet.
Well, I don't have to. And I'd like to. Yeah. I'd like to see it. I don't have to know or to strongly think that he's going to do damage if and when he gets there. By the way, Brendan, I hear you. I just don't know if you're hearing me. It's not like I'm putting him... I know that there's tiers of accomplishment, no question, especially here, especially for our city, the Yankees championships, the Giants with Eli with a couple. You know, we always reference Clyde and Willis and those guys. Why? Because they won. We always said when the Mets come, the 86 Mets. Why? Because they were amazing and they won. You know, 69, miracle, they won. So, you know, it's not, that's why it's not a historical whatever. It's, this guy's a killer. How do you not see that? How do you not know that? Like, how are you afraid to? I guess I'm not hesitant to put it two steps beyond maybe you, Brendan. I think most people are with me. This guy pulls up. I mean, up one, up two, down three, down four, up four, fourth quarter inside of 5 minutes. I think every shot he puts up is going in. Every single one. So I don't know if you really truly heard me, but, and if you didn't, you still feel that's fine. It's all good. But supreme confidence. He's the man. Christian's in North Brunswick. Christian, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, BT? Yep. Nets fan rooting for Knicks. Knicks have been burned so many times. It's crazy how they can be so negative after a win. But listen, I'm going to give you one guy that's going to give us a game to win, and it's not Cat. It's not Bridges. It's OG. That guy is a mismatch problem, and if they're honing in on Brunson, like they're putting a safety out there in the middle of the court, OG has to step up. They got to move plays around OG so this way he can take advantage of that mismatch. What do you think about that?
I love him. I love everything about him. I love his motor. I love his heart. You know, he plays so hard, but his heart rate is slow. You notice that? It almost seems like a contradiction. He's playing so hard. I mean, visibly, I'm sure it's pumping in there. But, like, there's not a bead of sweat. There's not an ounce of worry. Like, there's nothing visible about OG that says he's not ready. He's always ready. And they may say, like, some guys need to be in the constant flow of the game. He does. I like when he's more in the flow. I think sometimes they get away from that, and that's when we talk about the stagnation or the Brunson ball or the ISO stuff. We've talked about that. That was a big theme in the Pistons series early, for sure. But he is just, I think he's got the least efficiencies of anybody on the team. I said that early in the show. You know, like, if you look, he's a good shooter. He's a great shooter from the corner. He's a great athlete. He's strong. He's a great defender. He's a great teammate. He's a good rebounder. He can finish. He's a good foul shooter. Like, he's just, you know, there's other guys, and a lot of the guys have strengths, but, you know, it's about Brunson, you know, he's a subpar defender. Then some of the issues that bother us about Cat. Like, I just don't really see anything visibly wrong with OG. I just don't see it. Andrew's in Manorville. What's up, Andrew? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Yo.
So, congratulations to the Knicks, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Want to see them do it. But back to the Yankees. Devin Williams. I can't see it anymore. I don't think we should try him out anymore. He needs to show us more, and I believe he should have left Cruz in or even had Williams for another inning.
But, yeah, you know, it's funny. You beat me to it, and I'm going to actually get into this coming up next before I do the King topic at noon. I had this jotted down. I obviously mentioned Devin Williams early in the show. I'm going to actually get into that coming up in a bit, but obviously juggling the Knicks, which is probably 95% of the show. But that is certainly discussable, and I'll get to that coming up in a bit. Steve's in Harlem. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, BT?
Hey.
All right. So, you know, listening over the last 2 weeks about Knicks basketball, it really just sounded like people forgot how to watch and, you know, predict playoff basketball here. Especially with the Knicks. I know they lost two to the Pistons, but you got to understand, these star players in the NBA, all-stars, they can win you 1 to 2 games in a series against anyone. So Cunningham coming out and having enough to win 1 to 2 games against the Knicks wasn't the most alarming thing. Honestly, if you flip it, it kind of shows why the Knicks had a shot all along against the Celtics, because they have that guy, and it's actually even deeper than a Cunningham. It's Brunson, who can really win you 2 to 3 in a series. And then from there, do you have a condensed supporting cast that can step up to win you 1 to 2 games? And then those, you know, little role players who can win you 1 to 2, like, key moments. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's what Sal was getting to earlier before the playoffs started.
Yep.
And I think, you know, the recipe is there. I'm not, you know, it's a long series. We have to take it step by step. Everyone has to take it step by step. But really, you know, you can be upset with Kat in game one. But he doesn't have to win you every game because of how deep this team is. And the way the Celtics were playing him, all the Knicks had to do was move their focal point based on the focus of the Celtics defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have the depth to do that. And Thibodeau showed, you know, he's pulling things out of his pocket that he was saving. I guess there was a lot of frustration in the regular season and even against the Pistons. But, you know, you don't want to show your hand. There's film on everyone. You can train for anything. But in the moment, if something hits you new and you're able to just shift things slightly, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's there and it's showing itself. So let's go, Nick.
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting call. And I don't doubt that there's an element of what you said to be true. I guess the thing with Kat is that, like, you don't hide that. Like, yeah, you don't show all your cards maybe in the previous series or whatever, maybe even early in this series. Like, obviously, the drop defense last night, they mixed things up a little bit, and we talked about that. But what should not be negotiable or intermittent is, like, the how do I say the effort? Because I know he's playing hard, but the presence of Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, that's supposed to be there all the time, and it's not. But again, I'm not trying to bag on the guy. He did some good things, and he's had some, and he was an all-star. I'm just, you know, to win a championship, he's going to have to be more than an all-star. And last night was a little discouraging. A couple of times against the Pistons, I was a little discouraged. That's fair. I mean, I'm on the record with that. I'm not going to run away from it. Now, but the one thing that the Pistons series did, and, you know, one of the things that was really bothering me about this team this year is that they didn't seem very connected. For all the Villanova cohesion, they just didn't seem like they had that great gel. And I know you can't microwave it. I know that we want to, and we want to speed things up, but there's a natural progression. Okay, now I still think it shouldn't take 82 games, and that bothered me a bit. But what I will say is what they went through the previous series as a team, as a unit, as a group, as a franchise, absolutely accelerated that connectivity. They look closer. They look more ready to battle. They look more willing to have each other's backs. They look a little tougher, quite frankly, than they did at various points this season. And if that's the case, well, now you can start to change what you perceive their ceiling to be. And that's what I'm doing. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. All right, coming up, I'll get a little Devin Williams stuff coming in. He has been an absolute train wreck. How to describe the guy anymore, but is it salvageable? I'll tell you what I would do. We'll get to that coming up. And I'm not prepared to say that about Devin Williams, but we're kind of running out of time here in terms of excuses. He has been absolutely atrocious, and everybody knows it. He sounds defeated. I heard him this morning coming in. Jerry was playing it in the update. It just doesn't sound right. Like, he sounds lost. He sounds confused. He sounds as if he lacks confidence. Understandably so. That is not a fun position to be in. I mean, listen, this is a massive problem for the Yankees. The Yankees are not good enough to flush down leads when they get them late. They just can't keep doing this. And that is now 5 on the young season. 5 in the first 5 weeks of the season. I mean, you do the math. That's going to add up to a lot. And this keeps up, it might prevent him from winning the division. So what do you do? I mean, anybody could get on the air and say, well, Devin Williams doesn't look right. No, he looks less than right. He looks absolutely broken, or at least he's moving in that direction. I would say what I would do if I'm Aaron Boone, I would do absolutely nothing. I would do nothing. I think the worst thing that they could do, I think the more damaging thing that they could do is to put him into, like, you know, long relief and just banish him from high leverage spots at this point. I think that would, whatever remains of his psyche and his confidence, I think that would just destroy it. I think at that point, he might be too far gone to really even help this team. I mean, then he might be officially broken. Now, I could give you a little bit of a tiny baseball reason why this might be happening. I mean, guys, the ERA is 10. The whip is almost 2. You know, it's not like April 9th or April 20th. It's, you know, before you know it, it's the middle of May. His ERA is 10, dude. 10! 10! 10. The one thing that I was studying is this Fangraphs stuff. I just want to see if I'm missing anything. Because I listened to the stuff, and most of the people with the Yankees, he has said it. I think Booney said it most of the time. Like, you know, he looks pretty good. He's got his stuff. He's just not, you know, he's not hitting. Okay. I want to see for myself. Well, he is throwing the fastball less. And he's throwing the changeup more than he did the previous year. Now, why? Is that because his fastball is down? Which it is. His fastball is down to 93.6 miles per hour on the average. Now, that's not a massive deal because his go-to pitch is changeup, but you talk about variance. I mean, that's the separation between, you know, whatever whether it's a four-seam or a hard sinker or whatever secondary pitch you throw, you know, you've got to have that. It can't be, I mean, it's got to be wide separation between those two to keep hitters off balance and guessing. 93.6 mile per hour is getting nobody out with any sort of consistency. He just doesn't throw hard enough. And if he's not trusting his fastball, and I understand why he might not at 93.6 miles per hour, and he's throwing the changeup much more, which he is, well, now it's more visible. So you're seeing with more frequency, so you could kind of gauge it more. They're barreling him up. They're hitting the ball pretty hard. I looked at those numbers as well. So there's no excuses. He's been awful. But there's really, once you decided to take him out of the closer's role, and I didn't think they were even going to do that so quickly. I give him credit. But now, I don't think the next move is to take Devin Williams and say, all right, hey, we're up 7-2, we're up 9-1, we're down 13-2, 13-3. You know, let's work on some stuff in the game situation that we can't get on a side bullpen session. But I don't think that's it. I think, because I just don't think it's going to be transferable. Now, I think he's got to learn how to deal with this pressure cooker. That's it. And he's going to have to figure it out in the Bronx. I'm sure it's going to be a little bit easier to figure things out on the road. But the Yankees are not good enough to win if Devin Williams doesn't figure this out. I like Luke Weaver. There's no question. We all do. We saw what he did a year ago when he took over the closer's role. I've got, last night aside, you know, I've got great faith in him. I think he's got, you know, great moxie. He's tough. I think he's got good stuff, good presence, great demeanor. Big fan. You know, next year when Devin Williams is gone, because there's no way in hell they're going to give him an extension, then he's the closer. I got no problem with that. But you can't lose Devin Williams along the way. And I think that the way that you might accelerate losing him is to banish him. The more time that he's out there in the bullpen thinking and letting this horrendous start fester, I think the more detrimental it is to his New York Yankee tenure, his New York experience. I keep running him out. 888-80 as a setup man. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. So we got some Devin Williams stuff. Obviously a big Nick Day. Damian St. James. Damian, how you doing today?
Hey, what's up, BT? Hey. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Before I get to the Devin Williams point, I'm a Bensonhurst boy. I was just curious. When you played ball near that field by the Belt Parkway, did you guys used to go and eat at Zeke's roast beef after?
No, we didn't go to Zeke's. I would go to Roland Roaster for roast beef or bread in a car. So hold on. So you're talking about Gil Hodges or the one on the other side of the Belt Parkway?
The other side of the Belt Parkway. It was right across from it.
Yeah. I played there a bunch. Now it's just grass, I believe, right by the apartments off the Belt.
Yeah.
That was a good field. I like it. Yeah, I like that. That was good.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
So, yeah, what I was going to get at, the correlation I haven't heard on the station yet, that I think that that Devin Williams got a case of the yips ever since Alonzo took him hard in the playoffs.
He might. I mean, I don't know that that's never been said on the station. That's been brought up mainly like in jest, like we've all kind of said, like it's a throwaway line, like, yeah, you know, the night Pete took a soul. Well, maybe he actually did.
Yeah.
It's real. I don't know. I mean, he started slowly before. Damian, thanks for the call. You know, because it takes him a while. He's had some rough Aprils. Like, that is not new. But you could do it in the relative anonymity of Milwaukee. You can't do it here. And the fact that his fastball is in the mid-93 mile per hour range, that's, I get it. He's never going to be, you know, a young Aroldis Chapman. I get that. But 93.6, you're not fooling anybody in 2025. Let me get Chris in Stony Point. What's happening, Chris?
Hey, BT, a big fan.
Thanks, Chris. What's up, man?
I think a lot of things, part of it with is it's not just Devin Williams. It's Boone throwing him out in high-leverage situations, throwing Mark Leiter out there in high-leverage situations. They're just the only one you can really count on is Weaver and Fernando Cruz.
Yeah, Cruz has been great. Cruz has been, he usually had some control issues over the years. Cruz has been terrific.
I mean, as much as you want to harp on Cashman and he really does find diamond in the rough when it comes to the bullpen and whatnot.
Yeah, can you find a couple of middle infielders? How about that? Can we find that Cash? I mean, we know we can find pitchers, but some of these guys they're rolling out there. I mean, it's okay. It's May. I'm not going to go nuts here, but the Yankees lineup is just, I don't know, Chris.
It's getting pieced together, and I mean, Boone's trying to do as much as he can with it, but it's, even he's overthinking it sometimes.
Well, over the weekend, you're talking about what? Not pinch hitting Austin Wells. Yeah, I'm sure he'd like to have that one back. But, you know, Chris, I mean, there's only so many options for Aaron Boone. I mean, you can only do what you have on the roster or work with what you have on the roster. Hey, I got to pull you in for a sec. So you were out the last couple of days. I know that you saw that the Yankees promoted Lombard from high A to double A. He was sitting 329, 12 steals, whatever, early, you know, 990 OPS. He's going to double A now. If he tears it apart, you got to give this kid a look this year. I don't care how young he is.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about the prospects. I mean, if they're hitting and guys up in the majors aren't, you have to give somebody else a chance. You have to give somebody else a shot. And Lombard showed in spring training he's got some ability. So, I don't see why not. I mean, personally speaking, I'm sick and tired of seeing certain guys be run out there just because they're names. So you have to do something different.
Well, I asked somebody in the Yankees organization about 2 weeks or so ago. I asked him directly. I said, are you guys averse to pulling up Lombard this year if he shows? And I was told no. I wasn't told yes, they're going to. But I was told, no, we are not organizationally against it, meaning we're open-minded. We'll see. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, back to the King topic of the day next here on The Fan.